"Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left of the 12 baskets full, and those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of our Lord. Let us sing the first time with the help of the organ, the leadership of the organ, "Open Our Eyes," and the second time through, let's sing a cappella. "Open Our Eyes," 157.
Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him, and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him, and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus.
We pray, Heavenly Father, that not only our eyes and our ears, but that our hearts be open to hear your word this morning, that you love us and care for us no matter what. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm not sure I need to tell you this, but I really, really, really like to
fish.
Come on.
Fish.
Last Sunday wasn't for me about church, but it was about
fishing.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, up at 3:30, into the boat, a couple of miles upriver, fishing by four, till a break at noon, then down the river, in the cabin for a couple of hours, then back in the boat, a couple of miles up the river again, and fishing till I was ready to drop. Sounds like fun? I will not remember those 3 days as a vacation. It was hard work, rarely managing in umpteen hours to bank my daily limit of 3 sockeyes. I believe I can now honestly say that the Kenai River has seen the last of me and that I have seen the last of it. The river was infested, not with sockeye, but with people, with guide boat after guide boat stirring the water like 1,000 egg beaters. I am so happy to be home. Where there is peace and quiet on the river, just a black bear and me, enjoying what we both love to do. It's silver time at the slough, I hope, though I haven't heard. And silver's more precious than gold. Yet, one needs to get away from time to time to go to different places in order to more fully appreciate what we sometimes forget, that there's no sweeter place than home. We're all aware that August and September is winding down time for me, and that August, September, and October for you is winding up time. The women of the church have been doing their job, house cleaning the church. It's winding up time for PLC, preparing for something new, readying ourselves for something special, the welcoming of our new shepherd, and the welcoming of our new shepherd's wife. I thought I knew how to fish the Kenai for reds. I've been doing it since the 70s. But last Sunday, a guide dumped five of his clients next to my partner and I on our already crowded shoreline. And as he was teaching these non-fisherman clients of his, a couple from North Branch, Minnesota, just north of the city, two from Southern California, and a third from Arizona, none of whom knew how to fish for Kenais on the Kenai, for reds on the Kenai. And as he was teaching them how to do it, he noticed my terminal setup, get up, and nudged over to me and kindly said, "I don't want to tell you how to do it, but you can't catch many reds with 2-foot leaders. The distance between your lead and your hook should be something between 6 and 8 feet. Do you realize that in 3 short months, your new fishing guide may kindly say to you, your leader's too short? Or he may say, your leader's too long. He may, your new shepherd, nudge up to you, not critical of what you've been doing, but kindly say, I've got a new way I want to try for you, and I want you to try it with me. Or he may say, I've got an idea that maybe you've never thought about. Let's give it a try. And that is precisely what I'm going to do to you guys today. Try something different. Something I rarely do. Throw out the gospel. Throw the epistle under the bus. And do a little Old Testament. For the first time in my 14th month with you. Verse 3, the 55th chapter of Isaiah. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast love for David. I have two questions for you. The questions are similar, and their answers are interchangeable. Got that? I believe that there are only two correct answers to the questions that I'm going to ask, and I know them. And either answer is appropriate for either question. Got that? Okay. This is how we're going to do it. When I ask the first question, each of you will answer it in your own mind. And you will keep that answer to yourself. There will be no sharing of answers at this point. And God be merciful to you if you splurt out an answer aloud. Got it? After a few seconds for you to think about your answer when I ask you the first question, I will then ask you a second question. And upon hearing this question, you may decide that the answer that you gave for the first question better fits the answer for the second question. Got it? And if you want to, you can change your answers around. They may be switched however you like. Now, if you understand these ground rules and are not thoroughly confused, we can proceed. Anybody confused with the point that doesn't understand this, stand up. Say, I knew you wouldn't. From our text that I just read, Isaiah reminds his rebellious Israelites that God's love for David is steadfast. Okay? What it says. With this thought in mind, question number one, what is your most memorable story of David? I'll give you just a few seconds to think about that. What is your most memorable story of David? Okay, that's long enough. Norwegians take longer, but that's okay. Question number two. What is your second most memorable story about David? A few seconds to think. Maybe switch if you want. Remember now, there are only two correct answers, and I have them. Now comes the hard part. At this point, you can't share your answers. That will come later. Your job now is to try to remember them till we get there. Okay? We'll come back to the answers towards the end of the sermon. But now I want to say a few things about David. As a young boy, David was a hero. With the sling of a stone, he killed the mighty giant Goliath. As a married man, with as many, they say, as 7 wives, David allowed one night of lust to overcome him, impregnating another man's wife, Bathsheba, and then succeeded in plotting and carrying out his plot against Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, resulting in Uriah's death. David, upon hearing that his plot had worked and that Uriah had been killed in battle, then took Bathsheba to be his wife and attempted cover up for his illegitimate son, who subsequently died, and which later Bathsheba bore to David a second son by the name of Solomon. King David was a man of many contrasts, single-mindedly committed to God, yet at the same time repeatedly committing offenses against God. David lived a frustrating life, first in the shadow of his brothers, then constantly on the run from the vengeful king whom he was going to one day succeed, Saul. Even after David became king of Israel, he was engaged in almost constant battle to defend his kingdom. We remember King David as a great military conqueror, but he could never quite conquer himself. His life was a roller coaster of emotional highs and lows. However, he left us with his example of a passionate love for God. He authored dozens and dozens of beautiful and precious songs. Some of the most touching and tender songs ever written. Isaiah knew and understood David's deep love for God. Isaiah also knew and understood God's deep love for David. Thus, in this text, Isaiah uses King David as his example for his rebellious people, Israel, as to how God feels towards them, even in the midst of their rebellious ways. Isaiah asserts, if God could love David, then Israel, in spite of yourselves, God could also love you. Isaiah tells his people, God's love for David is steadfast. And that's the message he wants his rebellious Israel to hear. God's love for Israel is also steadfast. See the similarity? See the connection? David's life is much like Israel's to a greater or lesser degree. And see the connection and the similarity? David's life, to greater or lesser degrees, is our life. We're just like Israel, and we're just like David. God said to David, God said to Israel through the prophet Isaiah, God says to you and to me through the Spirit moving within us, my steadfast love for you is steadfast, no matter what. No matter what. Think about it. Tuck that away in your head. God's love for us is steadfast, no matter what. No matter what. So what were your favorite stories about David? Hey, you can talk now. What? Those two? You score. You get A plus, man. How many of you had the right answers? Yeah? Yeah. Some of you had the wrong answer. We won't ask you to stand up. I can think of no better way to end this sermon than by reading something written by David. What do you think I'm thinking about? Huh? Tell me. The Lord is my shepherd? Wrong. You know Psalm 23. We don't need to read that again. But a lesser known one, a beautiful summary of God's steadfast love for David. And most importantly, for us, from Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest when I sit down, when I rise up. Thou discernest my thoughts from afar. This is David writing, remember? Thou searchest out my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou dost beset me behind and before, and lavish my hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example David left for Isaiah to deal with his rebellious people, and down through the years, the example left for each one of us, that your love for us is the most sure thing of all things we can encounter in our lives. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your steadfast love. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Let's stand and sing a hymn.
Just had to pray.